morning, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to, I don't know where to turn, Luke 10:27. In fact, could somebody get that and ready to read? Okay, Alice, Luke 10:27. And then I have one more. Somebody for me have Matthew 28:18-20. Yeah, okay, thanks. All right, Matthew, okay. Well, this is, I didn't even realize it, and I don't know if you realized it. It's just one of those things you hear about. You know, this is welcome back to church Sunday. I don't know, it's just one of those things they just establish and say, oh, it's welcome back to church Sunday. Oh, there. And I don't, it's like when you find out there's just, it's National Pumpkin Week or, you know, Sweetest Day. I don't know where these things came from, but they pop up. Anybody here tell me when Sweetest Day is this year? Any guys can tell me when Sweetest Day is this year. Yeah, okay. So, you might probably didn't know this year, but it's back to church Sunday. So, welcome back. Officially, it's officially over for most of us. We start a new church year. I know Sunday school, we're starting Sunday school back this morning. I see a couple of, you know, a little bit more relaxed parents this morning. Lots of new stuff that's starting up. We started our after school program this week with E-Zone and Open Gym. We started up, you know, our Little Aggies preschool began this week. Tonight's Mud Bowl will be the kickoff for our, you know, our middle school and high school programs. We're going to be having some small groups starting up soon, and our Grow in His Word Sunday morning class started this morning. Just by the way, you know, if you're thinking, oh, you know, did I miss that? It's not too late to join. I have an extra book right here. So whoever would like to come be part of that group, come see me right after service. I gave you the book, and actually we just reviewed the Old Testament today. So you didn't really miss it much, although it was great. Okay. So I thought as a welcome back to church Sunday, this might be a good time to kind of reintroduce who we are as a church at the Hub. What's our goal? What's our purpose, both as a group and individually? Who's God? What does He expect of us? How do we grow? What's our mission for developing mature believers, for creating more and better disciples? A simple phrase that we've come to use in describing our mission: know Christ, grow in Christ, serve Christ, and share Christ. And maybe you've seen this phrase at the bottom of our outlines. It's still there. I know we're toying with a new format today. I know I haven't pointed it out, but you know that we do have a part on there. I'm trying to have on every week this five for the drive, an opportunity to just kind of review on the way home what we talked about. But I want to explain exactly what this means, because it's a mission, but it's also a process. It's a vision for where we want to be. It's a benchmark for where we are now. It's a process, a motion, a stage of discipleship from one stage to another. So we derive our mission from the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, and we'll show that in a moment. And those were the verses that I was handing out. But we're going to take a walk through these four stages of discipleship, and then we'll end with seeing how do we piece all those together. How are we attempting to piece all those together, the church? So the first is to know Christ, and if you have your outline, that would be your first fill in there. But to know Christ, and talking about beginning a relationship with God. This is where people go from knowing about God to knowing God personally. Where God goes from being the Savior of the world to my own personal Savior. And our main avenue for accomplishing that, at least corporately, together as a group, is our weekly worship. And we want to have an environment where people have a fresh encounter with God. Last week we talked about walking the narrow path, walking through the narrow door, which is Jesus, and having a relationship with Him, that He is the way and the truth and the life. And we want our weekly worship to be a place where everybody is welcome and nobody is perfect and anything is possible. And we also want our worship service to be an on-ramp to something more, not just a cul-de-sac. What's next? You know, maybe it's to pursue baptism. We had last week, we had 3 people being baptized, and we had a couple more just earlier in this earlier summer, late spring, that did that. Or maybe it's becoming a member of the church. You know, let me know if you're interested in learning or becoming a member of Heritage. Or maybe it's just advancing to another through another avenue to a place where you are growing to become more like Christ. Because after you know Christ, we want people to grow in Christ, where you're connecting relationally and growing in greater depth of the understanding and practice of the Christian life. We talked about this last week. Being a disciple of Christ means giving as much of myself as I can to as much of Christ as I understand. As much of myself as I can, as much of Christ as I understand. And I know we trust Christ for our salvation one time. But there's this constant, for lack of a better word, rededication process that as I learn more of what it is to be a disciple of Christ, as I learn more of what it is to be a follower of Him, if I learn more of what God expects of me, then I'm constantly saying yes to that. Saying yes to that next step. To giving as much of myself as I can to as much of Christ as I understand. As I find more and more what it means to be a Christ follower. And we want each believer to get to the point where we're not just reliant on Sunday morning, you know, for feeding. I know people come to church and say, well, I want to get fed this morning. I better get fed. No, I didn't get fed. I really got fed this morning. And you should want that. But if you eat one time a week, you're going to starve. It doesn't matter how good the meal is. You know, we want each believer to get to the point where you're doing feeding on your own as well. Our Grow in His Word group this morning, those in class with me this morning, we not only had a nice brunch in terms of feeding, but we also were looking at scheduling out what our daily, you know, feeding is going to be. You know, what we planned out our eating schedules for the week to be fed from God's Word. So, in one of the ways we do that is we have groups that will meet together, small group or a life group, where we're growing, and we're growing in relationship to God and relationship to others. And so we grow as we better and further learn what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, and also we're growing in relationship with others. We're practicing the one another's of Scripture. And so that's one avenue for that. I know in the back on the information table we have the Daily Bread devotionals is something you can take and read and be in God's Word every day. I know many of you have your own devotionals or Bible reading plans, and that's great. With the kids, we have our E-Zone and our Open Gym and our middle school and high school youth groups, again, where people can grow in disciples and grow in their faith and grow relationally. And they also periodically have fellowship events to help people grow relationally as well. Of course, then once you're growing, we need to find a way to contribute to God's kingdom. So the next phrase that we look at, the next point in the process, to serve. Is serving Christ. It's an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ to others. And sometimes it's seemingly, in the world's eyes or what have you, the smallest area of service can mean the biggest difference. It can be a word spoken by, you know, somebody just helping to set up chairs or, you know, rubbing shoulders or there's so many kinds of service that are done behind the scenes can mean so much more to another person than a sermon ever could, than a bunch of words spoken up front ever could. And so serving Christ is our opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ to others. And we know sometimes that can be outside the church. You know, people doing, you're doing missions work or with other Christian agencies or helping out with the Red Cross or Natalie, we left last week, and she's over in Israel and she's doing some volunteering there while she's there. And then there's also inside the church. And we'll look at this in a moment. But in places to serve, almost, you know, when we look at different places to serve within the church, I know sometimes we can say, well, I think so-and-so is doing that or something. I can tell you almost every single area there people would say, I would welcome the help, welcome the break, welcome to be part of more of a rotation, but to look where you might plug in. And we'll look at those in a moment, but just things you can think of, like the worship team, whether being a singer or playing an instrument or, you know, helping with the sound team, ushers or greeters, something we don't really even have at this moment. To be a Sunday school teacher or a helper, to help with the refreshments, to help out at the farmer's market. This setup and tear down that we do here each week and throughout the week. Or to helping out at E-Zone or Open Gym or high school youth group or middle school youth group and be a part of outreach events. And some of them we just can't do without a point person. And we'll hit these again. We move on to our final stage of our process. I had somebody came up to me this morning before church, and we highlighted a service area and said, I'd like to help with that. You know, so this movie night, well, we never had anybody to step up. And so, you know, sometimes that's just what it takes, is somebody to step up and do that. Being a part of a small group or facilitating one, helping to work with a bulletin or the website, or someone to help, you know, connecting and following up with visitors, with communion, or doing dramas, serving as an elder, a prayer team leader, movie nights, as we said. So there are so many areas, and we'll look at that in a moment. And just to take a break from the process, just to illustrate what we've been talking about so far, to know Christ, to grow in Christ, to serve Christ, and also to share Christ, just to illustrate this in a different way. To show the four stages of know, grow, serve, and share, when we talk about knowing Christ, it's like lighting a match. You're lighting a match, it's where things get started. It's the beginning of a relationship with Jesus. After we know Christ, two things, and we grow in Christ, two things happen here. One is we get grounded in a group of believers, you know, with joining, becoming a part of a church. But also part of the growth is what feeds the fire is the oxygen. You know, the Holy Spirit that feeds us, you know, through time in the Word, through time on our knees, through time with one another. The Holy Spirit uses all those things to feed our flame. And just like the oxygen around the candle never runs out, the Holy Spirit in our lives never runs out. It's an inexhaustible help and presence to us. And then finally, the light and the heat that's given off from the flame is what we talk about as serve and share. It's our impact on the world around us. And we are to light the way as examples, leading people to the true light, Jesus Christ. Now here's the question, because we talked about this is a process that we go through as discipleship. What happens if we serve and share, and we know Christ, but we don't grow in Christ? And we're attempting to serve and share. Well, it's kind of like a flame when you put a jar over it and the oxygen is taken away. What happens to that light, to that flame? It burns out. And the same thing will happen when we attempt to, through our own human efforts, to serve, to share Christ, but we are not growing in Christ. We've not, His Spirit, His Word, is not continually flowing in us. We burn out. You know, we want to get to the point when there's no Holy Spirit in our life, if you're not growing your faith, serving will suck the life of you. Sharing will seem like an obligation. So that's why this is a process, and you can't leave out the grow stage. And that, of course, that brings us to our last stage, which is to share. Oops. We'll just keep that there. I'll back it up for a second. We're going to come somewhere in here. There's going to be a slide that says share Christ, and I'm going to bust right through it when we come to it. But to share, just so you can write down in your, and to share Christ, it's an opportunity for you to invest in what matters most to God, which is people. It's also a challenge to invite people into an environment where they can have a fresh encounter with God. And that can happen two ways, personally and corporately. Personally, you know, we're to be salt and light in our community. And I know, as I look around the room, you're in different areas of the community or in other communities or in your workplace or in your family, in your neighborhood. You know, we're called to be salt and light in our community. People should want to know what makes you different. People should want to know what makes you different. And if they're not asking, if no one's asking that question, then what's wrong? Right? If salt isn't having effect on something, either it's not salty, it's lost its saltiness, or it's still in the shaker, right? For salt to be effective, it has to have potency and proximity. It has to have power and be right up next to what it is that is to affect. And that's why, again, we can't skip the growth step. We can't just go to share without growing, because if we do, people might look and say, well, yes, thank you for inviting me into this life you have, but I'm not really sure I want that, you know. So if we have that growth step, you know, people should see. They should see, well, you have that kind of marriage relationship I want. You have the integrity I want to see in myself. I'm trying to emulate how you handle relationships. I admire the peace in your life when waves are crashing all around you. I'm trying to emulate your priorities. So the question is your faith have an effect on your life? Do your beliefs have effect on your actions? And then, aside from personal evangelism, there's corporate evangelism. There's some things that we do together as a church. Like the mud bowl or the buck pole, or when we do Bibles to Russia, or the Christmas Eve services, or the Easter egg hunt, or the farmer's market, or the basketball clinic, or the different versions of BBS we have, or the Memorial Day event, or supporting missionary ventures both locally and internationally. The things that we do together to start that process. Because the goal of the share stage is to get people started in that simple process, that a new match will be lit, a new light will come alive as people are introduced to the gospel and have a chance to respond to the gospel, that it's a line, but it's also a circle, you know, that share would come right back around to someone going to the know stage, a circular process. The illustration we did this a couple years ago just kind of shows that process. Number one, there to know Christ. Number two, grow in Christ. Number three, to serve Christ. And number four, to share Christ. And of course, there's overlap there, right? Just as there's overlap in the process, it's not always a linear thing. Sometimes people come right to know Christ, and that is the best time to start sharing Christ with their friends. But there's overlap in the process, and just like when we talk about different ministries, you know, it can include many of those areas altogether. But it gives you a general sense of how that is as to work. But as we look at the two beams here, the horizontal beam is the Great Commandment, and the vertical beam is the Great Commission. In fact, let's look at that. Who had Luke 10:27?
The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind."
Okay, stop right there just for a second. So that's knowing Christ. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, all your mind, knowing Christ. Go ahead.
And love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, and that's serving Christ. Remember, serving is a chance to show God's love to others. And we show our love for God. Okay, and then the vertical beam is the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18-20.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations."
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me stop you right there just for a second. So, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You know, that's from the person sitting next to me, all the way across the globe. That's the share portion as we looked at the cross. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, I'm sorry, I have to stop you one more time. So baptized into God's family. When you're baptized, it's not just, and this was understood with the early Jewish people as well, you're being baptized into a family, the family of God. So it's a chance for us to grow relationally. So that's part of the grow step. And then,
and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
Yep, so teaching to obey everything I've commanded you. So that's in growing in discipleship, growing in our relationship with God. So we see all of those things in the Great Commandment and in the Great Commission. And we can state that process most simply like this. You know, I become a mature disciple in Christ when I know Christ, grow in Christ, serve Christ, and share Christ. To help facilitate this process, we've been working on a new organizational structure. And many of you have been in meetings we've had this past summer, and we've come up with something that looks like this. All right, don't try and read all the words, but, you can. But our four purposes are put on hub wagon wheels, right? Because the hub and the spokes and if you've been here for a while, you know about the wagon wheels. I should get something up on the walls about that. But the four wheels of our wagon are the four purposes and the process which we use to make more and better disciples of Christ. In each wheel is what I would call, at the center of each wheel is what I call an axle. An axle. Now, an axle is not what it makes a car look good. An axle is not a feature you're going to see on any car commercial. Nobody ever says, hey, look at the axles on that car. What axle does, however, is it provides support to the wheel. For our axles, this can be through encouragement, through resources, through providing ideas, or helping new ministries get started. Axles also help the wheels keep moving in the same direction. And each part of the mission is connected to the others. Our axles right now are myself for the Know Christ portion, Andy Cox for the Grow in Christ section, Linda Schnaubrock for the Serve Christ section, and Jan Swears for the Share Christ section. And like I said, not necessarily all out front people all the time, and this is not a head of a top-down org chart, but it's a support for the ministries in terms of that particular wheel. That's why I like the word axle. Like in our cross illustration, there's an overlap between ministries. I mean, the same thing is here. We look at small groups. Yeah, there's a growing in Christ, but there's also growing relationally in Christ closer in groups that will serve together. So there's cross-pollination here, but just as best as we could, we tried to organize it. And like what we'd like to do over the course of the next few weeks is begin to flesh out some of these other boxes or spokes. Some of these are already being done. I mean, Sarah is already filling the role of treasurer. Bob Schnaubrock, he's our facilities team leader. But even within these pieces, we find leaders or facilitators, there's more that's needed within. You know, as Charlie is leading the worship team, but there's certainly room for more instrumentalists or singers or sound technicians. So our goal is to begin to put together ministry descriptions for each of these areas and post them so you can look at, physically post them here so you can look at what's involved. And we'd like to also try and put a timetable on some of these ministries where you don't get stuck or feel stuck, like I have this job until I come in and say, I'm burnt out and I quit. That there would be a time period to say, hey, maybe 9 months, maybe a year that I would serve in this ministry position. And also, wherever possible, we also look at the spiritual gift results that we filled out earlier as we went through that three pillars of ministry. Helping with this entire process is a connections coordinator. Tabitha Cox is going to be stepping in that role. I guess you call it axle grease. I don't know. We'll come up with a better term. But something that helps the connections between the different don't tell them. All right, between the different ministries and help them to run smoothly and get people connected that are new or wondering where it is that they might fit in. And she's had a training and a passion for helping people discover their gifts and purposes, so she'll be available to help make those connections. So, but it's the outer part. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where the wheel meets the road that we really make an impact. Where we interact with others and impact others both from inside and outside of the church. And of course, each of these axle people also fill roles on the outside of the circle as well. And the other thing to know is to remember so clearly that every part is so important. It's like bricks on a wall. You might think, maybe that top brick is most special, or the brick that's next to the window, that's special. I mean, every brick in the wall is equally important. They're all necessary. 1 Corinthians 12. I'll read this. I've got it. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about this with how the I should have made a body up here, but how the church, the body of believers, is like a body, like a human body that all works together, and no one part is more important and no one part is expendable. It says this, Paul writes, the body is a unit, Though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. But the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Though I were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Oh, he goes on to say, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, and workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And he closes that off with saying, and now I will show you the most excellent way. As they're working as a body together, I will show you the most excellent way. The object is to involve everyone, but not to overwhelm anyone. Many things are going to determine your involvement level as we go forward. You know, your stage of life. You know that your moms and dads, your primary ministry is to your family. So we want people to be involved but not overwhelmed. And as we look at those wheels and stuff, that's real important. I took a shot. But it all comes back to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. This is what's great of agreement among churches. When you look at different churches and like, oh, this is where this beliefs are different. This is where this beliefs are different. This, almost every evangelical church I've ever seen or been a part of derives its mission and its purpose from the two verses, from the Great Commandment and Great Commission. Where he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, knowing Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself, serving Christ. And then in the Great Commission, Jesus came to him and said, all authority in earth heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, sharing Christ. Baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right, growing relationally, baptizing in God's family, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So that's growing in discipleship and relationship with God. The things that are in agreement with almost every evangelical church out there is where we want to focus our efforts, what we want to center this around. And then again, after Jesus said that, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, he said at the end, the next verse, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. That we don't do this on our own. I mean, that's a nice looking little org chart, and we're starting to get processes and things put in place, but it is not through human skill or knowledge or ambition, but through the Holy Spirit that anything of kingdom value will happen. The Holy Spirit, the oxygen that gives life to the flame that has first begun in us by Jesus Christ. Never do we do this on our own. And never would we want to. Because there would be no purpose in that. Let's have the worship team, you can come back up front, and let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for today. God, I thank you for giving us a clear commandment, giving us a clear commission of coming to know you, to growing in you and becoming more like your Son, growing in our relationship with others as we seek to value others more than ourselves. God, that we would come to serve you and others. Show our love, to show your love to others and show our love to you through our service. And God, through sharing Christ, through sharing your Son, that we don't want to just keep this to ourselves, that we don't want to be just a reservoir of your love, but we want to be a conduit that you can flow through. God, fill us to overflowing, that we would affect those around us towards a relationship with you, that more and better disciples would be the result, and all of the glory would be for you. Bind us together. Teach us well. Your Holy Spirit, watch over us. Pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.